Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey guys, it's Candace
and Kayla, and we are directionally challenged.
Yep, we thought we would have it all figured out by the time we were in our 30s.
But surprise, we don't.
No, we don't. But you know what? We have 100 episodes worth of trying to figure out, and that means something, gosh dang it.
The fact that we've recorded 100 episodes and are still trying to figure it out says a lot about us, I think. But we own it and we're doing it. And I'm just so happy to have done this with you for 100 episodes.
I know. What a celebration. I mean, this is also, I remember, this is a beautiful milestone because I remember when we started this podcast, we said, okay, if we get to a point where, you know, we're doing this enough and we can like get our own mics, like that's a huge right. milestone. We're going to buy our own mics and figure out how to set this stuff up. And then we got to that point and we're like, oh gosh, could you imagine when we get to 100 episodes?
Which and was a milestone in its own sense because we were learning how to, you know, acclimate to what happened with the pandemic. And then now we've hit 100 episodes and I'm really proud of it. I texted you this morning, or no, it was last night, right, Candace? And I was like, I'm so proud of us. We've done 100 episodes.
I know. You very kindly also asked to make sure that I hadn't given birth yet. So
right.
I'm glad
I wanted to.
I'm glad that I've been holding it. I'm holding the baby in for this episode today.
That's what I was making sure was happening. Like, you're going to hold the baby in, right? This is a really big deal. We have a really big guest on today, you know.
I'm gripping. I've got the baby inside. Yes, I'm still with child. Who knows by the time this episode comes out, because we really wanted to make sure we got this episode recorded today. Not just because it is our 100th episode, but because of the guest who we have joining us today, this is someone you guys have been asking for since day one of us announcing this podcast. And we knew that we wanted to have this guest on. We just wanted to wait a little bit. You know, we wanted to like warm you guys up and get you guys really ready and prepared for the episode that we're about to have. Kayla, would you like to introduce who we're having on today?
Yes. Because you guys don't know this person and don't know a lot of what he has accomplished in life, we'll give you a massive bio on him. Just joking. He needs no introduction other than his name. Today we have Paul Wesley on. You guys know him from a little show called The Vampire Diaries. Do we want to do a bio on him or do we just want to do that? I kind of think he doesn't need a huge introduction, right?
I think that's his introduction right there, Kayla. I think he's going to love hearing that. 100 episodes,
Paul.
Guys. 100 episodes. And this is how we treat our 100th episode guest. But actually, this is how we just welcome Paul Wesley so wonderfully to this show. Without further ado, here is Stefan Salvatore. Paul Wesley, one of People's 2020 Sexiest Man Alive.
And we're back with Paul Wesley, one of the sexiest men alive of 2020.
I think of ever.
But specifically 2020. Like, how does it feel to get that recognition in a year like 2020?
I feel good about it. I'm just curious why I didn't get it in 2019.
Yeah. Well, right. So does it count if you get it in like the worst year so far?
No, I feel like it's like they ran out of like they selected other guys and other they were like, oh, we have more important things to do. And then they were like, oh my God, what do we do? And then they were like, oh, Paul Wesley will definitely do it. And I was like, yeah, I'll do it.
But I love it because I was wondering what you've been up to this year. And now I know from your from the headline for People's Sexiest Man Alive that you've been becoming a man of the land.
Well, yes. Yes, that's exactly correct.
I mean, and I need to hear more about this. Jersey know, becoming a man of the land.
Well, yeah. Listen. I as you know, I left Hollywood in terms of the you know location of living in Hollywood. I live in New York City. I moved, you know, we moved in the middle of nowhere kind of on a bunch of land and quarantine hit and I became a farmer.
Now Tanner is like, really, does Paul actually know what farming is? Like, what are we farming here?
I have no idea what I'm doing.
Are we talking tomatoes?
No, I'm doing nothing. No, I the reality is it started slow and I started to like redo my backyard and like started to like create little like paths and I put a hammock up and then I did it like a bocce ball court. And then I was like, so I was like bored. What am I going to do? And then I planted a veggie, like an herb garden myself. And then I was like, let's build a veggie garden. So I hired this like local dude. I didn't do it myself. But he's like super cool. And he took all this reclaimed wood and he built this big veggie house essentially. And we got all kinds of stuff in there. You know what I mean? So if that qualifies as man of the land, then yeah, I'm a man of the land.
like a greenhouse to grow veggies in?
Yeah, it's like a green. It's like it's not like it's open air, but it's like fully insect and animal proof in that it has like a screen. You know what I'm saying? But then it's made of like then the structure is kind of made of reclaimed wood. I mean, it's really interesting stuff, guys.
No, it is.
No, it is.
I'm super impressed that you just happened to pass over the fact that you created a bocce ball court by yourself in your backyard. Yeah. Like that's a massive undertaking.
Well, that's the thing. You know, I moved from the Lower East Side in New York City the kind of like in towards Malibu. And, I just felt there's just more, you get more bang for your buck, you know what I mean? And so there's a bunch of just like land and I was like, well, what are we going to do here? And a bocce ball is fairly simple. A bocce ball court's fairly simple. It's just flat, you know, land with like DG, decomposed granite and like wood sides and a bunch of balls.
Most importantly,
aesthetic thing because like I haven't actually we haven't played once, so it just looks good.
But I was gonna say, I'm sure Inez would kick your butt because that's like I feel
it's a very European thing.
Yes, it's a very European thing.
Yeah, they play bocce ball and they drink something called pastis. I'm not sure if you guys know what that is.
No.
Nor do
Enlighten
I.
Us. But
I've heard of it. It's like some sort of a cocktail. And, you know, yeah. So
I love it. Well, when all this quarantine business is over, that's what we're going to be doing. We're coming over to play bocce ball and drink pastis.
I feel like that's your, that would be something you would like to do, Candace. Like, I feel like that's like a Candace move right there.
It is. It's literally when Joe and I went to Paris, like 2 years ago, I carved out an entire day where we went to bocce ball courts and drank around the city. Yes.
I
that's like a big thing for us.
I literally thought of you when I was, when we were. But do you remember, Candace, in Decatur, there was that, I forgot the name of it. There was like that one bar or whatever that everyone would go to. It was like a restaurant bar and they had like a little bocce ball court. Do you
Leon's. Any? Yeah.
Leon's. Oh my God. I love
Leon's.
It. So I was inspired by Leon's also.
It's because, the best.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway,
I feel like this is a good team. I want to see Candace and Inez versus Paul and Joe.
Oh yeah, man.
That's a good match. Great.
And I, yeah, I really want to see Joe. I miss that guy.
I know he's doing good. He's holding down the fort with between. Yeah. Becoming a man of no man's land has been his 2020 just surrounded by women and hormones all
lots
year.
Of estrogen.
Lots
of estrogen. Well, Paul, thank you for joining us for our 100th episode. This is, this is like a very momentous occasion. So we're excited that you're joining us.
Congratulations on 100 episodes.
Thank you.
What's the span of time that it took to do 100 episodes? Like, how long have you guys been doing this?
I think 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so exciting.
2 years.
You had 100 guests?
Yeah.
Wow. I can't wait to hear how I rank.
Well, we'll see, because that, you know, Nina's episode definitely ranked pretty high up there.
Yeah,
I'm excited that we get to talk about today, because that was quite a turn of events.
I know. Well, you know, I just, I'm like, I before I go, I was like, I can't say anything too controversial because, you know, they'll just, because the problem, a lot of the issue with me in the interview is that, like, I'm a very sarcastic person. And I kind of have like this dry humor. So if you take the direct quote, it can really be misconstrued. So I feel like I need to be like super, you know, black and white about everything I say with no like gray in between. You know what
I mean? I think that was the issue with Nina's episode, is she told this lovely story about how in the beginning you guys really weren't as close, but then after the span of all the years working together, how now you are really close. And it really was this beautiful story she told on her episode. And of course, the media only picked up the first, you know, paragraph and first little part of the story and spun that completely. No, and so we felt like, oh my gosh, no, the purpose of that story was so meaningful and lovely. And then, you know, it was just completely spun out of control. And then of course you get CNN alerts that you're an asshole.
I listened to it, that, you know, that snippet or whatever, cause I wanted to hear. And it was such a normal, innocuous, like sweet story about how we didn't get along and we didn't like each other. And then we became best buds. And now we love each other. It was like so sweet. But yeah, you know, but that's okay. I mean, the one thing we can get out of it is that it's pretty cool that, that people care so much, right? It's kind of flattering.
And I'm glad that you were chill about it, considering that I had just landed in Mallorca to basically go on holiday with you and your soon to be wife.
Yeah.
At her family's house, drinking your wine, eating your food.
Yeah. But you remember, I thought from the beginning, I thought the whole thing was funny. You remember, like,
you thought it was funny. Thank God.
The whole
you were
time,
just like,
I just thought it was funny. Like,
oh,
I never for a second, I never, and Candace, I was with Candace, so she can
attest
to this. We were literally on holidays. And the whole time I was just like, this is the funniest thing ever. I love these news articles. I thought it was hysterical.
Yeah, it was very funny.
I remember texting Candace being like, oh no, do we need to contact Paul? And you literally were like, I'm with him. He's right here. He thinks it's funny. He's like, laughing. I'm like, okay, great. We're good.
Great. That's so funny. Didn't we have a great time, Candace, in Mallorca?
That was the best. I know. That's, I was telling Kayla before we jumped on the mic that how wonderful it is. And the only like predator on the whole island are like the sheep. And they're obviously not predators.
Like, I think the predator is is mankind.
Right. Yeah. But it was a wonderful trip. Yeah. And crazy. Yeah. And a testament to the fact that we've all known each other so long. That's the other crazy thing that, you know, Vampire Diaries started 11 years ago, almost 12 years ago.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
So obviously people listening on this episode are going to want to hear like some sort of Vampire Diaries story, because that's what everyone wants to hear. But is there something like in the beginning that you do remember from, whether it be the pilot or something now, like in 2020, that you're reflecting on looking back at that period of time? Like, for example, I just watched the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reunion. And first of all, it's a tearjerker if you just loved that show to begin with. But I feel like there's just something when you've like worked with a group of people for so long and there's like this familial love language that grows and that kind of bonds you all together in a way. And I got so emotional watching it, knowing what, you know, what it feels like to be a part of an experience like that. And the same thing happened watching like the Game of Thrones, like recap of their like last episode and how, what the cast and crew went through filming it. Have you had any moments of like reflection that you've taken away or appreciated in a new light from working on the show?
I mean, it's such a, yeah, that's a tough question because, I've had some distance from the show, right? Because it's been, you know, 2 years or so. I don't even know how long it's been since it ended. 2 years, maybe longer.
Three or four.
What? Really?
Three or four.
Oh, you're right. Three. So anyway, yeah, I mean, it sometimes takes a little bit of time away from something to appreciate it, you know? And I mean, when you're in it, you're in the thick of it and you're not thinking about, how great it'll be or how you'll reflect, 11 years later and think about how fortunate you were to be in this position. But yeah, during this quarantine, I've sort of been thinking about, just the whole experience, how unique it was, how lucky we were to be a part of something so monumental. I don't know. I guess I don't really have an answer for your question other than I specifically remember meeting each cast member. Like I remember each person and my impression of them and what they said to me and like just funny stuff, you know. Like I remember I'm Nina's the first person I met because I had to audition opposite right. Nina. So Nina's the first person. I just remember, and she'll tell you this, like I just remember like, you know, being kind of like rude to her. Not because I didn't like her or because I didn't want the part. To the contrary, I wanted the part, but in the audition, we were supposed to be meeting for the first time. So she was going up to all the guys saying hi to them, all the guys auditioning. You know, it was like down to the final six or whatever, who knows. And I refused to look her in the eye and I refused to say hi to her because I wanted us to meet in the audition for the first time. You know, it was like such an actory thing to do. But, you know, it was so like, I was super into like that like, method, you know, but it worked, you know, or like with Ian. And she was like, he's a jerk. I remember like she thought I was a jerk, but she's like, okay, but I like him. Like I thought he was like unique or whatever. So it kind of worked. And then I remember with Ian, I just remember being on the plane to Vancouver and talking to Ian and like being like, in typical Ian terms, like I would be like, hey, you know, I don't know, man, you think the show will be a success? I was like, I don't know. Maybe this Twilight thing is, you know, kind of blown up and maybe it's too late for us now. And I just remember him being like, au contraire, mon frère, which is to the contrary. He's like, wait and see. And I just remember like thinking that. And then the show blew up. I was like, this guy really knows what he's doing. just like little things, you know, like little moments where I reflect on meeting these people for the first time and how funny it was and how much I appreciate them now. But yeah, so I didn't really answer your question, but I've been reflecting a little bit. Yeah.
I mean, I do remember moments of all of us being in Miami before the show was going to air. And there was this excitement around it all, but also this kind of unspoken pressure. Because I can only speak for myself at that time of feeling like, okay, because of the Twilight success, there was so much pressure to like want to make sure it went and just responsibility around that. Did you feel any of that at that point, or was that just me? Maybe I was alone in it.
No, not at all. I was extremely insecure about being a part of the show from the very beginning. I felt that because I had to, I think I auditioned for like 7 or 8 times. I never felt, and Julie admits this, Julie Plack, I never really felt like I was like the top choice or like the guy. And everyone's like, come on, we love you. Like, I always felt like I was being scrutinized and like everyone's waiting for me to screw up so they can recast me. Like, that was like, I never felt like super comfortable in the role. Honestly, for like 2 years, like it didn't, I always felt like this constant pressure that maybe I was going to like mess it all up. And I know that's my own insecurity and my own like, you know, thing. But so to answer your question, yes, I felt like a tremendous amount of pressure that I kind of wish I hadn't felt. Now that I reflect, you know, I kind of wish I'd enjoyed it more and just, you know, believed in myself a little bit. You know what I mean?
But you'd also been working a lot up until right. that point, specifically on television shows and pilots. And so do you think that that played into it of there? You'd been on a couple of different series that went like just the pilot or just the first season or. And so, and that's hard to get your hopes up and then, you know, ride that roller coaster.
Yeah. And also I'll share a little story with you. So I had this string of like great luck in terms of like getting pilots as an actor, you know, whatever, like my whole, like from the ages, like, you know, 15 to like 20, I was like constantly doing stuff and I felt extremely confident. And I don't know what happened, but there was one time, and I won't say what it was for. I felt really confident about what I did in this one screen test and I didn't get the part. And for whatever reason, that psychologically like really like impacted me. And I remember, I'm not exaggerating, I think I had like auditioned and screen tested for like maybe like 20 shows in a row and I didn't get the parts. And I felt an extreme like, oh my God, what is this? Like, I can't handle the pressure in the final moments. So I called my manager at the time and I was like, I need to fix something because I'm feeling like very insecure and I keep bombing in the final moment. And she's like, let me do some research. And she found the Yankees. The Mets are the Yankees psychologists for the pitchers. And that, and there was this person who literally spoke, worked with the pitchers. So as to, give them the right mental focus and clarity to be able to throw a strike, you know, at the bottom of the, you know, eighth inning when it's all tight, you know, whatever. And so I went to this woman, it was like $750 an hour. Like, I'm not even kidding. I didn't even have that much money. I was like, I'll do anything. This woman. And we did this like series of exercises, visualizations, all this crazy work. It was in Santa Monica. And I don't know what she did, but she really helped me. And I remember I had my Vampire Diaries audition like 2 weeks later. Anyway, I ended up getting the part. So when I got that part, it was after a series of like failures and a lot of bad luck. And so I was like, oh my God, finally my luck has turned around. So that's why I was so insecure, because I hadn't really had a lot of, I had success, but I had a lot of failure as well. And it was a really big deal for me to book the pilot. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I have to ask though, when you do those visualizations, because I love this kind of stuff so much. Was it visualizing yourself in scenarios of success and that kind of thing, to put it broadly?
Yeah, it's more, I know this sounds extremely like elementary, but it would literally be like, I would be feeling a certain way. She would get me to my like insecure place. And then she'd be like, okay, now stay there. And now I want you to stand up and go sit in this chair over there. So I'd go and move to another chair and she'd go, now talk to Paul, who's feeling that. So then I'd suddenly, my personality would split. And then I would talk to, so then I would have confident Paul talking to the insecure Paul. And then she would have me go back to insecure Paul. And then I would go to the other chair. So it was like, it seems so simple and it seems so silly, but there was like something, somehow it worked. And in her, what she later described to me is that I had created like a new pathway, like a new neural pathway. So that when I felt a certain way, my brain now recognized that there was another alternative route to go. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it sounds so self-helpy. And I usually like scoff at those things, but it actually was really enlightening, especially at the time. I was a pretty young guy. Yeah.
But you take to that. I mean, you meditate. I don't know if you still meditate, but I know you meditated a lot
in
the Vampire Diaries days. Mm-hmm. And so you're good at kind of like recognizing the work that you want to do within yourself and really applying it, which is good.
Thanks. Well, I'm a generally anxious person and I have a lot of like anxieties and neuroses. And so I feel that if I don't do that, I kind of just start going a little bit crazy. And so I have to do it. Like, you guys are a little more centered than I am. I'm a little bit more of a, I mean, at least you appear to be. But like, I get a lot, like, I can't sleep. I get like worrisome. So if I don't meditate, I feel like I'm going to like spin out. I don't know if you guys feel that way.
No, this makes so much sense to me because the conundrum with you that I've always felt was that you never believed your own hype. And I never understood it because from my perspective, and I'm sure a lot of other people's, you have massive success and you are totally magnetic and there's something about you. You handle yourself well in public situations. You're handsome. And from my perspective, that's how.
Awesome,
so I never believed why you didn't like own who you were. Even when you got the People's Sexiest Man, I was like, this is great. Maybe now he'll believe his own hype, you know, because I think that like, well, there's just something about you.
Well, first of all, it's so nice of you to say all that. And I hope we recorded this because I'm going to play that over and over again. But no,
you can pay me $750 an hour.
Yeah, exactly.
For it,
yeah. Exactly. What do you mean by believe your own hype? I mean, here's the thing, right? There's a fine line between that and, you know, kind of getting lost in your, you know, because this industry is full of ego, right? And there's so many people who just love themselves so much. And, you know, I'm so afraid of like walking down the path of just like, you know, being that guy who's just like loves himself, because there's so many of those guys.
But I think that's why you haven't. And yes, like a lot of CW heartthrobs do fall down that pathway. But because you're so aware of it, there's this awareness level that you've always made sure you didn't go that way.
Oh, well, thanks. Thank you. I mean, I think
prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. No, go for it.
Exactly. I appreciate that. I don't know. I don't know what to say, really. Thanks. I think there's a fine line between like confidence and I guess ego, you know, and egomania, or, you know, so it's
like
just
arrogance. Yeah.
Arrogance. Yeah. Candace, you think I'm arrogant. Don't you think?
Candace, for the record, weirdly quiet.
Kayla is the one saying all of this stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sitting silently
I'm looking at Candace because where we see each other on the Zoom and you're just like kind of looking with like one eyebrow raised. You're like,
I'm like, you know, I think you've got a healthy perspective. Yeah. No, I'm kidding. I love to mess with you. One thing I will say that I want to take back to is when you mentioned that when you got the role for Stefan for Vampire Diaries, that it was at a time when you really wanted it and you needed it. And you just, it wasn't just something that like fell into your lap. Like you'd really hit that point where you're like, I got to book this role. And I think that was something that everyone within the cast could relate to at that point.
Yeah.
I feel like everyone was at that point within their personal life or their career. And we all came to the table with such an appreciation for the fact that we were there.
Oh yeah. Like there was not one, if anything, I took it too seriously. I mean, there was not one moment where I was just like, oh, whatever. Like I got a better things to do. Like it became, you know, I took it very, very seriously. My work ethic was super intense, at least for the first 2 years. And, you know, I just, yeah, it was a really big deal. I had worked, quote unquote, but I really just wanted to, I don't know, be in something that had an effect on people in a more profound, larger scale way, I guess.
Yeah. And I'm sure some stability too. I mean, I think that's the hard thing.
Sorry to interrupt you. At the time, no, I never thought about stability. Like, I was pretty wild. Like, I didn't care. And that's where I was just like, yeah, I'll figure it out. And now I think about it, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I was so, because I'm so much more cautious now, you know, like I'm always five steps ahead because I'm older, you know, but like the time I was 26, I didn't give a shit. I was just like, yeah. Wild, man. Like, I would spend till like the last 10 bucks and I'd be like, I don't know, it'll come my way. I'll figure it out. and I didn't grow up with money, you know, at all. I didn't have anything to fall back on. So I don't know what I was thinking. Yeah.
But I think there's something about being like that in your 20s where you just, there's more risk. You'll take more risks. You'll like throw caution to the wind. And that's why we're all so brave in our 20s. And then you get into your 30s and your 40s and you look back and you're like, wow, I've learned so much.
Yeah.
Do you ever wish you had a little bit more of that kind of recklessness in you now?
100%. Recklessness and curiosity too. Because, you know, great, like the only like risk and recklessness you can take is based on like curiosity. And when you take chances, that's when you reap benefits and rewards, you know? And I think, you know, some people value stability over the major benefit. And other people are like, no, it's worth the risk. But yeah, when I was younger, I was like, man, I don't care. I'll try anything. I'll do anything. And it's all worth it, you know, but you know, yeah, I definitely don't feel that way anymore. I mean, I still hoped to take risk in life, but it's not the same. It's just not.
Yeah. I feel like my risk is when I'm like, ooh, I'm going to add an extra egg to this recipe and just see what happens. It's going to get crazy, guys. Big risk.
Yeah.
Well, one thing that doesn't really seem like much of a risk at this point, because I think you guys sold out already within your first kind of drop or like tease and release, but your brother's bourbon.
Yeah. No, I know.
That's exciting.
You know me, I'm always like Mr. Pessimist and glass half empty kind of guy. And Ian's always like Mr. Glass half full. Everything's amazing. We balance each other out that way. Ian's like, this is going to be amazing. I'm like, yeah, whatever. And like, I was excited about it and I believe in it, but I never thought it was going to, I was going to love it and believe in it so much as I do now. I genuinely love the alcohol itself. I'm a bourbon drinker and I really believe in this bourbon. I'm not just saying that, like I genuinely love it. And it's true. There seems to be an appetite for it. We did this like quick release where we did like a holiday pre-release kind of thing and, sold out like in less than 24 hours. And it was like one of the fastest selling, I think if not the fastest selling alcohol on Reserve Bar within a 24 hour period ever in the history of Reserve Bar, which is crazy. Don't quote me on that. quote Ian on that. But it's great. I'm super excited about it. I really am. So let's see how it goes.
Oh, well, I want to know what the process was like in fine tuning this bourbon. Did you guys have like hours of sitting and trying different bourbons to figure it out? How crazy did this get?
Ordinarily, what happens is we would fly to the distillery. We would like, because of COVID, because of, you know, everything that's happening, we were getting samples shipped to the house, to Ian's house. And we live pretty close to each other. So I would then go to his house and we would like, literally like chemists, like it was more Ian, like Ian, I was like, I hope this guy knows what he's doing. I was like, Christopher Lloyd in Back to the Future. He's got like goggles on. Putting dry, he's like 20% water diluted. I was like, this guy's out of his mind. But eventually, he actually does know what he's doing. And we sampled and sampled and sampled. And I remember one night he called me. He's like, I got it. And I like went to the house and I tried it. And I was like, wow, this actually is really, really delicious. And the truth is, I say that all kind of jokingly. There was this. There's a great. Sort of connoisseur named Don Livermore. I'm pretty sure that's his name. And he's like a true true whiskey connoisseur. And they call him like the whiskey godfather.
Whisperer.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. Something crazy. He helped in the process. And our distillery is a super experienced distillery as well. So they obviously sent us a really good product. And so we had a lot to work with here, but this was a true labor of love. And I give Ian a lot of credit in this final blend, this final mash that we settled on.
Are you guys going to do another, like, is it just going to be this singular bottle, or are you guys going to kind of expand?
Yeah. So we are going to do like a more of a limited aged bottle, but that's later. Right now, this one's the one, and it's really, really good. So I'm excited about it.
So is that what everyone should expect to get for their holiday gift from you?
The people that got, you mean my friends, actually.
Yeah. Where's my bourbon, Paul? I mean, I know I'm with child right now, but,
Julie Pleck actually, has messaged me like 3 times, where's the bourbon? And I thought, I'm going to do a shipment. I promise.
Were you a bourbon drinker when you were younger at all?
I developed a bourbon thing as a result of playing Stefan Salvatore in the Van Birdie.
Trying to figure out.
I mean, no, but because, you know, that's all we drank, bourbon on the show, like constantly. And,
well, it was tea. It was iced tea.
Right. But as a result of that, like, I was like, well, maybe I should start drinking bourbon to get in the character. And then suddenly I just became a bourbon guy, you know, as a result of Vampire Diaries, but wow. I really genuinely became a bourbon guy. I'm not just like saying that because I have, like, I really love bourbon. It's my drink of choice.
Hey guys, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back in just a minute.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
And we're back.
Now, because it's our 100th episode, I have to ask you, if let's say you live to be 100, right? Let's say it's like old man Paul, still alive, still drinking whiskey. Maybe he's managed to play on his bocce ball court at this point. What advice do you think you would give yourself looking back?
Yeah, it's this, it's so cliche, but to enjoy it more, to enjoy it more. It's so important. It's so basic, but it's so important. There's a reason it's repeated over and over. It's like the, you know, power of now Eckhart Tolle, you know, it's like really enjoy it. And I'll tell you, this unfortunate situation that we've been dealing with in 2020 has forced everyone, well, at least me, I'll speak for myself, to kind of take a step back. And one of the things that I've really begun to experience is this sense of like being in the present, which I genuinely haven't felt in years. I'm always looking for the next thing. In whether it's career wise or even just in any capacity. And it's just nice to be like, I'm here. I'm sort of hanging out with my dog in my veggie garden and Inez is here and we're just doing our thing. And there's like, it's just kind of simplicity. So I'm sort of enjoying the moment more and I hope I can maintain that. There's no guarantee. But right now I am. And I wish I had done that a little more with the success of the show. I don't know about you guys, but I didn't really enjoy it for a second. I was just hot, busy the whole time and never took a step back to be like, wow, this is great. This is so cool. People are enjoying this, you know?
I mean, I of course enjoyed it because I just came in and out, right? So, and like, it was, you know, carpet was pulled out from underneath me in the beginning. So I felt like the moments I was able to be with you guys were kind of magic because I was able to really enjoy them. But it was really funny to come back for the final episode and have everyone just be like, not enjoying it as much as maybe season one. And so for me, I just went like, God, I remember wanting to like rally around and be like, come on, it's a big deal. You guys accomplished this. We all did this. And everyone's like, yeah, we're ready to leave. And I'm sure,
I feel like we were all crawling to the finish line in a way. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I, you know, just physically, you know, it's a real, I mean, I know there's people that have much, much more difficult jobs than being an actor and being pampered on set. And I get it. And I'm not trying to sound like some, you know, pretentious, but it is a demanding thing. And you're working a very odd hours and your sleep cycle's screwed up and there's a lot of pressure on and off. But, you know, you're just, for me, I was physically battered. And I wish I had kind of taken care of myself more physically during my time in Atlanta. I didn't at all.
Because you're not sleeping. You're, right. You know, you don't know your schedule until like right before it's happening. It changes constantly.
You did a great job, Candace, in terms of like recognizing that you lived in Atlanta, enjoying Atlanta for what it for the city that it was, establishing it as your home base and being like a pretty happy individual. I was always like, you know, like I genuinely like you figured it out very quickly, I feel like.
I just loved it. It's also all I'd ever wanted. I grew up watching the WB and all those shows, and like being on a long running series was everything that I'd wanted. And I also loved Atlanta. I had family there. I loved the food. I just loved being able to drive to Nashville and drive a bunch of places. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I did settle in really quickly, but it wasn't until towards the end when I realized that I wasn't able to spend as much time with my husband and, you know, and then also then having a child was really difficult. Like I can definitely relate towards the sentiment that that final season, it was crawling towards the finish line. Cause I mean, I even like seeing like photos or any clips of like that last season, I just look so tired. Like I couldn't remember lines. My body was still healing from like having a baby. Like I wasn't sleeping at all. You know, I wasn't taking care of myself.
Well, yeah. And that's a whole nother thing.
Whole other thing. Yeah. Right.
And, I mean, I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine what it would be like to have like an infant.
But I will say, yes, I also felt grateful because I had family close by. So I easily got into the routine of just loving Atlanta. You know, I loved Leon's and I love that you could eat bacon in a glass with a side of peanut butter and that you can, you know, and I loved like the whole everything that was Atlanta.
Yeah, for sure. I think the not to harp on this too much, but like, I think the big thing that the mistake I made was not like getting a place, being like, okay, we're going to be here. We're not going anywhere for a long time. Going to get a place. This is my place. Like I always had my house in LA.
Yeah.
And I was bouncing around apartments and like I had storage units. It was like kind of a mess. Like I felt like a nomad. I didn't feel settled. And that can be very psychologically, you know, not good. Mm-hmm. You don't really have a home. You know?
Right. I feel like that can seep into everything in your life when you don't feel grounded and like you have your own space.
Absolutely.
Right. But exactly. I think that that's something that, you know, hopefully even people in their 20s or even in their teens right now are kind of recognizing that it's okay to have a sense of home and stability. And even though we're all itching to get out of our house and, you know, have a sense of what, you know, normalcy was pre-COVID, that there are beautiful things to be taking away from this time of being home.
Well, don't you think the world is moving at a kind of alarmingly fast pace? There's so much information and there's so much like, I mean, I kind of wish there would be like a giant, like, you know, I don't know, software or technology like freeze and everyone could just chill for a second. I don't know about you guys, but I find my phone is like, can be a toxic thing. I can really get lost in my phone and I can just be on like 80,000 different, you know, apps and this and searching for this and buying this on Amazon. And like, I don't know about you guys, but like, that's a whole nother thing. You know, I need a detox from a digital detox.
Talk about that all the time on this podcast, how to effectively utilize technology, but also make sure that it doesn't use us and make sure it doesn't rule our lives. And I have to tell you, for me, the switch was having a child because it doesn't give you a choice. Mm-hmm. You don't have as much access or time. And just, I think even just you being a dog dad now has got to have changed that a little bit too.
Absolutely. And I think more so than digitally. Yeah. But then also like we go back to like the ego thing. Like I'm very like, what's Paul need? Well, what's Paul want? And what's Paul going to do today? And now I'm like, okay, how can I help Gregory? That's his name. what does he need? He needs to go on a walk. It's not about me, you know? And obviously it's so obviously like minuscule compared to having an actual human child, but in my own way, it's taken me out of my own selfishness. And I'm so grateful for that.
Aww.
Yeah.
You're not only one of people's 2020 sexiest men alive, but
I just love how Candace can't let you win that it's sexiest. She has to say like 2020 sexiest.
You have to say one of 2020 is.
One of 2020s.
And may I remind you, 2020's ending very soon.
Yeah. You get to be enjoy it for the like next a few weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
You need an ornament for your Christmas tree of that.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what I'll get you when you send me the bourbon. I'll give you an ornament of your face.
Thanks. Just you're a welcome. Framed placard or something.
Yeah, something just really chill.
Yeah, or a necklace. 2020.
Yeah, perfect. I just can't get over this People magazine piece on you. So I just, speaking of food, because I really love this direct quote. You apparently rediscovered a campfire classic as far as food goes.
I sense a facetiousness to your voice.
And you say, and I quote, "I know this sounds basic, but baked beans are amazing. They're so underrated. Yeah. I don't understand why people don't eat it." Yeah. Eat baked beans more often.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm a very eloquent guy and a lot of what I say is complex and articulate. So read into that how you may. Listen, here's the deal. I'm going to tell you where that quote came from. All right. God damn it, Candace.
For those who can't see, Candace is bright red right now.
It's just so good. I just love your rediscovered passion for baked beans. Right. Yeah.
Well, I kind of do have a passion for baked beans, actually. So firstly, the article, you know, the whole piece that I did was camping, right? I picked that because
Do you camp?
Yes, I camp. I do camp. And so I've been camping a lot during this just this pandemic, because it's a very safe activity and you go, you camp, you do your own thing. I mean, yeah, you're outside alone.
Is this like glamping though, where you have like a nice tent and like, okay,
no, it's real camping. I'm telling you, I know I'm a real, you know, kind of, you know, prima donna about certain things, but when it comes to like, you know, camping, I'm a rugged dude. I like to have like no electricity, no running water. I want a river or a lake, and I want real silence. Okay.
But do you still have a mirror and hair product?
Yes.
Okay.
Always.
Always, at all times. No, but like I really enjoy it. And so I discovered baked beans again. And I just can't believe how good they are.
So is that going to be maybe like a sidebar to the bourbon, like bourbon and baked beans? Are you going to have bourbon flavored baked beans?
Well, I will
Brothers
say,
baked beans. Well, I'm just saying it.
Well, I will say that whilst eating baked beans by the campfire, often they were accompanied with bourbon. There we go. Thank you.
I love
anything
it.
Anything else?
I think that's it. That's a great place to wrap this up. Yeah.
This episode sponsored by Bush Baked. What is a brand Bush's of baked beans? I don't even know Bush's. Yeah.
By the way, Candace, you could constantly tease me on set. Do you remember that, right? That
was I have like no idea what you're talking about.
That was like, this is like a thing that she does. She's always making fun of me, always picking on me. Do you remember, do you remember when we had that one scene where we had to do like make love and
we had to do that thing called make love?
We had to do the make love. And you wore that bra that had Ian's face all over it. Do you remember that?
Yes.
It had what?
So the whole thing of this scene was basically Caroline and Stefan like do it, or as Paul says, make love for the first time.
Well, I'm a sensitive guy.
So the wide shot is essentially that, which they always start with, which is farther back. And Stefan's line is like Caroline and Stefan kiss, and then he pulls away and then he lifts the blanket up and like looks at Caroline naked under the blanket. And right. Obviously I'm not naked. I'm wearing like pants like and like a strapless bra. Like I'm wearing clothes, but he has to like look at my chest. And it was like such a weird moment. So I thought it'd be funny, or just to give him something that he'd be really excited to see. And just, I got a strapless bra and taped Ian's face all over it. Like a little, bunch of little like Ian of faces. Ian
yeah. Yeah.
Like cut out from a magazine.
Yeah. Like I had wardrobe printed it out and like literally turn it into like it. The bra was Ian's face all over it.
It was so good because like from what I remember, I like looked down and then looked back up and then like, it was like a 5 second delay. And I was like, I was still the scene. I was like, and my brain was like processing it. I was like, did I just see Ian's face everywhere? Am I having a glitch, a brain glitch? That's so funny.
But the best is I kept so straight and Paul just like kept looking down again and like started cracking up. Yeah. And everyone was so hungry because it was before lunch and everyone was like, Paul, Jesus, get it together. Can you just do the scene? And he just, oh gosh, it was great. Yeah.
I mean, that's such a good practical joke. Was the crew in on this as well? Everyone knew about it?
No, they had no idea. Wardrobe knew. So everyone was just annoyed thinking like that Paul was just like, couldn't keep it together.
Do you remember in season one or something like that? Everyone in the crew, I wasn't there, but apparently everyone in the crew wore a t-shirt of with Ian's like a photo of Ian from his old modeling days where he was shirtless. Like, do you remember that? And like it was, they all like took revealed it while he was like in the middle of the scene. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I wasn't there that day, but I do know what you're talking about. Yeah.
So good.
I feel like that's a Marcos thing.
Yeah. but that's the fun stuff. And then that's the fun stuff looking back that I think is great to appreciate from afar and be like, oh, that, you know, there were so many moments that's like when you're there and your family and there's like that, you know, that you've all experienced together reluctantly, you know, and we're all kind of like mishmashed together. Mm-hmm. You just don't really know who you're going to end up working with. And it's a really beautiful thing that all these years later, here we are and we're all still talking.
Do you think the show would have been different had it filmed in Vancouver?
Yeah. Yes, because Vancouver is closer to LA. Mm-hmm. There were a ton of other productions and shows there. Mm-hmm. And when I say it's closer to LA, I think that that means it lends itself to people flying more and going to red carpets and parties and events. And I think that that would have played into a different kind of hierarchy and like competition of amongst just like a really young cast of, you know, kind of chasing this idea of what we were all supposed to be, as opposed to being in Atlanta where there was only The Walking Dead and Drop Dead Diva and us. And that was it filming for a long time.
That's true. It's true.
And so we got to go and have a blast. I mean, Atlanta didn't make a big deal that we were there filming. Right. There was never photographers. There was never like, are you going to this event? Because I'm going to that event. You know, there was none of that stuff. Yeah. It was all just, hey, it's Friday. And we all got out at 11:30. Which bar are we all going to hang out to, you know, have a great time together?
And there was this level of anonymity that you guys were all able to keep while you were there. So there was no one, I mean, I don't know from my perspective that when you traveled there and you were going to these bars, some people did recognize you definitely, but it wasn't like there was paparazzi waiting outside. Right. It was a different level of that.
Yeah. Yeah. It just was so not Hollywood, right?
At all.
Yeah, totally. I agree with that.
Which made it awesome. You know, it was like, that was the best part.
Yeah. Thank God for sure.
I know. It was just the coolest job in the world for a while, you know?
Yeah. For sure. For sure.
Well, thank you.
Oh, wow.
Coolest dude in the world for joining us on our 100th episode.
I'm honored to have been the 100th episode guest. I am. Thank you for having me, guys.
Thanks, so Paul. We always ask, where can our listeners follow you on social media if they want to keep up with your bourbon and your baked beans?
I mean, are you on social media? Do you have any like social media accounts?
What do you mean?
Joking.
Oh. For once, I'm like not understanding sarcasm. I thought I was a sarcasm king. Well, I'll say this. I do have all the huge, but follow the Brothers Bond Bourbon Instagram account. No, but that's a good all the followers we can get on there. So that's
awesome. Well, we can't wait to try the bourbon, and we can't wait for all the free bottles you're going to send us. That's why we really had you on this podcast.
Exactly.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
So I now think that Paul needs to send you a bottle of Brothers Bourbon to the hospital so that can be your first drink after you give birth.
That's what I'm saying. You know,
come on, this Paul.
Is, Come on, Paul. This is why we had you on today. No, this was so fun. I mean, it I feel like we get asked a lot, like, do you all still as a cast talk to each other? Do you all keep in touch? And the truth of the matter is we do. We do. It's just we spent, I think, so many years together that it has created this family where it's like, you know, extended family that you don't necessarily talk to every single day. But when you do talk to them, it's like you pick up right where you left off. And that's why I know I was really excited today because, you know, I hadn't seen or spoken to Paul in a while just because it's, you know, been a crazy year. But it's so nice to catch up and just reminisce and have some laughs and celebrate, you know, someone's accomplishments. And I'm so excited for him and Ian and their Brothers Bond bourbon, besides just drinking it and enjoying it that way. I'm excited for them and starting this new adventure because, you know, you and I know how much fun it's been to start something. And here we are 100 episodes later and know how good that feels to celebrate it.
And I think that's what matters most, too, is when your friends come to support you in it. So Paul coming on today was awesome to have him as a guest. And I know we're going to go, when it's available again, buy some Brothers Bond bourbon and support them. And it was really nice, too, at the end of the interview after we stopped recording to just have Paul be like, oh, that was so fun. And that was so quick. And that went by. And it's just nice to catch up and see his friendly face. Wait, so Candace, my favorite part is you guys talking about the sex scene and you having a picture of Ian's bra. I just want to know where this bra is and can people buy it on eBay?
I know. I feel like it should have been something that we saved
definitely
from wardrobe, but it definitely just like got repurposed into being a normal bra again. But I was very proud of that Ian bra. Look, sex scenes are just really awkward.
Right.
And so I always like to bring an element of like something that can make just break the ice a little bit. Because otherwise it's just like, it's just weird.
Have you done other things like this before in sex scenes?
I did like Trevino and I would mess with each other a lot. So like with Trevino, the first time that him and I had to have a sex scene together, it's like it was really funny because we were both dating people at the time and like both of the people we were dating were like our shoot was running late. So they were already like at a restaurant because we're all going to go out to like dinner together. And we were like, we got to do this sex scene as quick as possible. Like, let's make it happen. But it was just, you know, it's awkward. And Trevino's like my brother, you know, it just, so I thought it'd be funny to like hide a banana in my pants and like, cause it was like a bra and underwear scene and he has to like jump on top of me. And so I had these like little booty shorts on. And so I stuck like a really big banana and like in my pants. And there's like layers. So it's, you know, like, but I just, you know, thinking that he was going to jump on top of me and be like, whoa, what's going on? And
did he smash the banana?
No, but what's funny,
like that's what I'd be worried about,
is he was so stressed about like, you know, like his, like what he needed to do in the scene. And like, he was shirtless that he had, and all of wardrobe knew. And I kept telling people like, get ready. This is going to be hilarious because I've got a giant banana in my pants and he's going to have to like jump in bed with me and start making out with me. And he did the whole scene without like missing a beat and then just like left. And everyone was like, what happened? Is the banana not there? And I was like, no, look at this big banana. Like, it's right here. And I was like, dude, did you not notice the giant banana between my legs? And he was like, oh, I thought I felt something weird. I just was more focused on like what I needed to do. He's like, you know, I just need to like get these push-ups in. Yeah, he just was in his like shirtless actor zone. He was in the zone. A giant banana between my legs couldn't break him. That's how actor focused
I guess that's Michael why they Trevino call him can be. One take Trevino.
One
doesn't
take
matter
Trevino.
What happens. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So I tried. So I didn't get him, but I got Paul really good.
You really got Paul.
Yeah.
Wow. So you guys, we hoped you enjoyed. We actually, you know what? Not that we hoped. We know you enjoyed this interview with Paul Wesley because you are huge fans of his, just like we are. We have another awesome episode coming for you next week. Take care until then. Bye-bye. Directionally Challenged is a production of Pineapple Productions.
Producer, Melissa DeMonts.
Edited by Katrina Henning.
Post-production sound by Chris Henry.
Music by Joe King.
And advertising partnership with Acast. 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 Acast.